Strong Island. Strong Island. Strong Island.
Send the place.
Yep, 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 yep.
Strong Island. Island.
Hello and welcome to the latest Strong Island Sounds podcast series. My name's Stuart. I'm one of the writers over at Strong Island. Last time we spoke, it was just before Victorious Festival, so hopefully you all had a fantastic time over there. Hats off to those who didn't let the weather defeat them and managed to make it down there on Sunday. We'd also like to say a huge thank you to those who supported us at the Strong Island clothing store. It was awesome to see so many of you wearing our clothes and supporting the brand. Thank you again. Recording these podcasts has always been quite a strange process for me. It feels quite uncomfortable when you're sat in a room just talking to your phone. Today, though, I've got a little bit of company. I'm joined by Robin Seamer from Breaking More Waves music blog. Robin is one of the founders of Dials Festival, which takes place in a couple of weeks on Saturday, October the 6th. Could you tell us a little bit about the origin of the event?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Stu. How you doing? By the way, yeah. I was down at Victoria's in the rain from 12 o'clock all day. I was hardcore.
Yeah, I managed to get I was pre-booked for babysitting my three-year-old niece, so I missed it. But I don't know which I'd rather be doing, standing in the rain or it was running after miserable. A three-year-old. So
yeah, but, although it was funny, actually, on Twitter, my most viral tweet of the weekend was a video of me emptying my welly boots full of water down the port-a-loo. And for some reason, people wanted to watch that rubbish.
who were your highlights for Victoria's Festival?
I thought on the Gomez were amazing. I'd forgotten what a talented band they are and what an amazing voice the lead singer has. I thought the Prodigy were a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I've seen The Prodigy years and years ago. I think it was 20 years ago I saw
them.
And
they always put on a good show. Yeah, always put on a good show.
It was a fantastic light show, big sound, and they got everybody jumping. It was pretty crazy. It's funny, they still do what they were doing 20 years ago, but it was great, you know.
Yeah, did they even play any new tracks, or was there no point?
I think there was some new stuff in there, yeah. Although it was just a barrage of sound, you know. But they were fantastic. Who else did? There's a girl called Lily Moore. She's been doing Victorious a couple of years now. She's based in Brighton, kind of Adele meets Amy Winehouse type vibes.
Nice.
And she was really good as well.
So yeah, I'll be brutally honest. I've never heard of her, but I'll be checking her out straight
Check
after this.
Check out Lily Moore. She used to go by the name Lily Rendell Moore, but she's dropped the Rendell for some reason.
Cool.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
So more, that's all right. More about your festival. Victorious is done for a while. It's gone to bed, that one.
Yeah.
So we've obviously got Dials Festival coming up.
Mm-hmm.
How did it start? Tell us about the origins.
So Dials Festival first came about in 2015. I'm sure you and probably most listeners are aware of South Sea Fest.
Yeah.
Which had been running for a number of years down Albert Road. Josie did an amazing job from building it up from, I think it started off as like just in one or two pubs and with local bands, and she built it to this almost beast of a festival, you know.
Yeah, where I always remember the weather always being absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and it was always a brilliant day. And then in 2015, she said that she was taking a year out.
Yeah, fallow year, yeah.
So we were kind of disappointed. Lots of people were disappointed. So myself and a bunch of other sort of music-loving friends were kind of like, could we put something on just to like, you know, fill the gap where South Sea Fest was for the year? And so initially I was involved just from a point of view of, because of my music blog, giving a few recommendations about some potential bands that could maybe book if we could get the event up and running. So I'm not sure how many venues we used, but I think it was something like five venues. And so we ran effectively a mini version of South Sea Fest.
Yeah.
And it seemed to go down really well.
How many venues?
I think it was five. but I can't remember, to be honest. But we had some, you know, some pretty decent bands. In fact, I think we struck a little bit lucky in that some of the bands that we booked have now gone on to, you know, slightly bigger and better things. And so we put it on, and it was always just intended as, we're going to do it for this year. We want to just run something for music fans in Portsmouth and Southsea while Southsea Fest takes a year off. And we talked to, you know, Josie from Southsea Fest about it, and she was very supportive.
Yeah, oh, that's cool, because so, it must have been a little bit of kind of trepidation thing. And we don't want to tread on toes and think we're being opportunistic and trying to push them out.
Yeah, no, we didn't want to do that. It was always just going to be for 1 year. And now here we are on our third event. But that happened because Southsea Fest came back in 2016. And we did a smaller event much earlier in the year called Dial's Days, which was just at the Wedgwood Rooms and the edge of the Wedge, to kind of complement Southsea Fest. And, you know, the idea was Southsea Fest was going to come back and keep running forever and ever, and we would then just kind of go our own way and not do anything else. But 2017, there was no Southsea Fest. As far as I understand it, it's not coming back. So we decided, let's go for it again and try and grab the bull by the horns and put on another music festival. So it's a really small team. It's just three of us, me, Abby and Brad.
All just giving up your own time.
Yep, we're all volunteers. We don't take any money from the festival ourselves whatsoever. Our ethos is about a community event. Profits that we make will be given to a local charity, Solent Mind.
Yeah, awesome.
If we don't make any profits, Solent Mind will still benefit, because we're involving them in the festival. Every venue will have a Solent Mind stand manned by their volunteers.
Awesome. So you can donate on the day as well.
I haven't even talked to them about donations, but they're there really for an awareness point of view. Yeah. So for example, in the Wedgwood Rooms, which is our one under 18s venue, Solent Mind are going to be having a stall there about mental health services for young people.
Amazing.
So we've got that very much. This is not an event about, you know, trying to make lots of money or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is about trying to put on an event for the local community with some credible bands. You know,
it's a really good little lineup.
We don't book tribute bands or anything like that. And it's mainly about new music. So the whole point is it's kind of modelled on events like Great Escape in Brighton, but on a much, much smaller scale. And it's fully independent. You know, we carry no sponsorship whatsoever. And the idea is to book some up-and-coming bands that are national touring bands, combine it with some of the best local talent, put them on in venues all down Albert Road, just like Southsea Fest used to do. You pay a reasonable price, you know, £16 for a ticket, which I think is pretty good value. Well,
definitely. When you think about what you get, You pay that just for a normal show, just to see two to three acts.
And you get a whole day of music from 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And you get your wristband and you can go, you know, to all the venues and try and catch some bands and hopefully discover something that you didn't know before and find something that becomes your new favourite band.
So on that, the festival's actually been a bit of a springboard for bands that have gone on to bigger things. Can you sort of name a few of them that most people wouldn't have heard of necessarily at the time, but now are sort of household names in quotes.
Yeah, we didn't book Adele. But I suppose, there's no magic crystal ball about, you know, choosing acts. We kind of rely on our gut instincts and tastes. But we've been pretty lucky. I mean, in 2015, we had playing in the Loft in the middle of the afternoon, we had Dreamwife.
Yeah.
Who have had an album out this year, have been played on Radio 1 and Six Music.
They're back in Portsmouth.
They're back headlining the Wedgwood Rooms later in October, I think. They're now playing a headline show at the Wedge. You know, their album's been critically acclaimed. They've just been out on the road supporting Garbage, playing venues like Brixton Academy. You know,
so they're obviously going to go on to bigger and better things.
We had them in a tiny little pub, you know, and that was great. We had Fickle Friends from Brighton, who have, you know, again, had an album out this year, done very well. We put on, like, Jerry Williams when she was a baby.
Yeah, probably wasn't even old enough to drink at that point.
Yeah, probably.
Black Honey is one of the big ones as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we have Black Honey, who literally have just released their album. Hopefully it might go top 30 this week. Again, they're now all over Radio 1.
Yeah, I remember they were at Pie Vinyl recently. I couldn't get the day off work. I was absolutely gutted.
Yeah, they're a really nice band as well. I've talked to them several times. Really, you know, really kind of cool guys, really nice people.
Yeah.
But the album's great. If you haven't heard it yet, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about them, I was lucky enough to have some time to chat to the lead singer. If you have a little look on the Strong Island website, have a little Google, you'll be able to find out a little bit more about them. And that probably leads me into let's play some music. So here is Black Honey.
I stay up my response to do to you, so I keep living.
So that was Black Honey there, followed by Tiger Cub, who will be headlining Darts Festival this year. So anyway, Robin, back to the festival. Obviously, you're well known locally and well across the country, really, for your Breaking More Waves blog.
I laugh because I'm not sure "well known" is really the right thing. But I mean, my blog's been going for 10 years, and it gets a few hits.
You've got a dedicated following.
Yeah, I have got a dedicated readership. Yeah, absolutely.
It must be really nice, the fact that people will they listen and trust your opinions.
Which is quite scary, isn't it?
You're obviously going to get some people that will disagree every now and again. But if you've got people that look and think, well, do you know what? If Robin likes that, I'll check it out. That's got to be quite nice.
Yeah, the blog. I mean, it's been really nice with the blog. I've like actually made friends with people in different parts of the country who have read my blog.
Nice. And then meet up at gigs.
I've been to gigs like and met some readers of my blog, and they've been like, "Hi, you know, I'm."
They buy you a beer.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. I've become proper good friends with some of them, and it's really, really nice, you know. And the funny thing is, they all say to me, "You sound just like your blog reads." And I'm like, God, that's terrible.
Well, that's a good thing, because it makes it kind of personal. I know I'm definitely not a natural writer when it comes to Strong Island, but I try and write a little story of sort of my feelings. And
I'm not a natural writer.
It's the only way I can write, to be honest.
I just write as I speak. I just chat, really.
I got my C at GCSE, and that was enough. Yeah. And yeah, people can probably tell when they read it, to be honest. So obviously, being a big music fan, a dream for any music fan. I remember chatting to some of my friends. Who would be your ideal festival headliners? You kind of get the chance to sort of live your dream, well, within reason on finances. Mm. So how have you actually approached curating your own festival?
Well, that's a really good question. I think, first of all, I should say that I'm not the main booker for the festival.
Yeah.
I have actually booked about between 30 and 40% of the bands this year, but our head booker is Brad. In terms of curating it, I think for me, as like sort of one of the directors of the festival, what's important is that we have a consistency to the bill. So it's, that it does feel properly curated. It's not just a bunch of random stuff thrown together. You know, that there is a consistency. But the trouble with consistency is it can become all a bit samey.
So obviously you've got quite a diverse sort of bands playing, ultimately. It's not just all one particular type of music. Because you've got pop for Psy, you've got metal with Horseflies.
Yeah. So I think the thing to try and do is to curate it in a way that, in terms of your timetabling, that actually there's some pathways through the festival that if you like a certain type of music, you can pretty much listen to that virtually all day.
Definitely. You don't want to stick all the singer-songwriters on at the same time, I guess.
No, exactly. But what we also try to do is throw a few curveballs in, because it is about discovery.
Yeah.
So I would quite like, in the course of a day, your hard rock or indie rock fan to go and watch a bit of hip-hop or a bit of pop or something.
Because Grace Savage? You've got a beatboxer, right?
Grace Savage is incredible. I've seen her live twice. The reason we booked Grace Savage is because I went to see her and went, we have to have her at Dials.
Yeah.
So she's 4 times UK beatboxing champion. You know, she beat the men at their own game, as it was not their own game.
Wow.
It's you know, I think
traditionally it was.
And she's blown it apart by going in and winning these competitions, and I think upsetting a few of the guys.
Yeah,
she's absolutely incredible. The things she does with her mouth, you cannot believe. You think this is on tape. It's not. She uses a little box of electronic tricks to kind of amplify. Does she use a loop? She uses a loop.
Yeah.
She creates whole, not just, she doesn't just beatbox, she creates whole songs out of her mouth, you know? And she does lots of different styles. She will do hip hop, she'll do pop, she'll even do garage. I think I saw her do something like 21 Seconds by...
Yeah.
Who was the band who did 21 Seconds?
Solid Crew, that's the one.
So I saw her do like a version of that with her mouth. And she's stunning, and she's also really funny as well, and you know, chatty.
Yeah. Do you know when she's playing yet? Is the lineup?
The timetable is out online. You can get it via the Dials website, which is just dialsfestival.com. There's a link there, it just says create your own itinerary.
And
it's also on Clash Finder.
Oh, perfect.
So if you search on Clash Finder for Dials, you'll find it there. Yeah, she's actually headlining the Loft. She's on, I think it's something like 9 till 9.30. One of the things we are doing with this festival is we have 5 stages, 4 other stages all finish early so that the main headliners, Tiger Cub, everybody, if they want to, can go and see Tiger Cub at the Wedged Rooms to finish the evening off.
Yeah.
But if you want to see something different, and if you want to see something that will absolutely blow your mind, you'll just be like, that's really incredible.
So that's the special one for you. You think if anyone can take home one artist I've never heard of, something a bit different?
I think so. I mean, unfortunately, she doesn't have any tracks of her beatboxing like on Spotify or anything. She has some other music that she's created.
Yeah.
If you watch her like on YouTube, there's lots of her beatboxing videos. She's just phenomenal. I can't stress how good she is.
Cool.
Whether anyone will turn up and see her, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's...
Well, I'll be there. We'll probably both be there by the sounds of it. But our listener will probably be there. So there'll be the three of us.
Yeah, okay.
Sadly, the listener isn't even my mum. My mum doesn't even listen to it. No. I don't think my mum even reads the articles. Oh. Nan does, though, bless her. Is there any particular bands that... Obviously, you get to go and see a lot of live shows. Is there any bands that you are most looking forward to see live that you've yet to see? Well, bear in mind, when you get breaks, I'm actually working in the day.
Are you at Dials?
Yeah, at Dials, yeah.
Okay. If I was to pick one, it would be Frost. And that's FR with an O with an umlaut over the top. Frost are a two-piece. I think live they are a three-piece. But essentially... They're a two-piece band from Brighton, and one of them used to be, and I think still is, in a band that I don't know how you pronounce it, but listeners will probably know, which is Miyagi, is it?
We'll go with that. Electronic band.
And so how I would describe Frost is they're like, I would say if you're a fan of anybody like Goldfrapp, or Broadcast, Stereolab. They've got that very electronic sort of pulsing, motoric feel to them. Lauren Laverne from Six Music absolutely loves them. She's been playing them to death. And they're just about to release their debut album.
Cool.
They've hardly played any shows at all, which is why I've not seen them live.
Yeah.
Dials is one of 3 gigs they're playing to promote the album. That's all.
Amazing.
No, they're doing 4 now. Sorry, they've just added a second London show.
Cool.
So I'm really looking forward to them. They've got an amazing track called Record Still Spinning that is just, I love it.
Yeah, awesome. And to be honest, it sounds terrible considering we champion sort of local music so much. But there are some local bands that I still haven't really had a chance to kind of see myself yet, with Barbudo and I'm actually a little bit ashamed to say it, Curses. To be honest, I've been fans of them fans of Roberta for so long, but I haven't had a chance to see them yet.
Okay, so Barbudo are one of the tightest new local bands around, without doubt.
Yeah.
Funky, disco, soul, with a hint of psychedelia in there.
Difficult to pigeonhole them then.
No, they've got this groove going on, and like they're perfect for summer. It's a summer soundtrack. They just happen to be on in October.
Yeah.
But you know, they're spot on. Curses, I can't believe you've not seen Curses.
I know. It's bad. It's bad.
So Curses were originally from the Portsmouth area. There's been quite a lot of changes with Curses. The lineup has changed. It's effectively now just the solo project of Roberta Fedora. Roberta now lives in Ryde in the Isle of Wight. But she is joined on stage by a dancing bear. That's all I can really say.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
it's very different. What she's doing now is very different to what she used to. It's less angry.
Yeah.
It's more ghostly, atmospheric. It's kind of weirder. But it's always got Roberta's amazing voice.
Yeah.
I think Roberta once told me that she got 99% in her singing exam, and she was really disappointed because she wondered where the 1% had been dropped. You know,
Jesus, I'd be lucky to get 1%.
Yeah, me too.
Jeez.
That's why I watch bands and don't perform.
Yeah.
But Curses are great. They're on quite early in the day, about 5 o'clock, I think 5:30, something like that.
What time does the event actually open?
Okay, so the first band is on at 1:30, and we have That is Temples of Youth, are playing at 1:30. And then in quick succession, they start. And then we have Libra Libra from Brighton on at 1:45 and Megan Linford on at 2. So three of the venues will be open very early.
Okay, cool.
I would really recommend to anybody listening that you do come down early, because some of the real quality talent is on early.
Yeah, you
know, we've got people like Jerry Williams and Lauren Hibbard on super early. Jerry could headline, but we're putting her on, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So
Jerry played the first ever Dials Festival, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She was just a baby then. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen Jerry develop over the years from sort of playing sort of small open mic nights to South by Southwest over in America, could you have foreseen that early on?
The first time I ever heard about Jerry Williams was I got a text from a friend who was watching, I think it was one of the Road to Blissfields competitions.
Yes, that's right. We covered it. We were both judges.
This is way before I was involved in that as a judge. And I just got this text saying, just seen this woman singing some songs with an acoustic guitar, you would love her. That's all it said.
Yeah.
I was like, what's she called then? You know, Jerry Williams. So I was like, okay. And then she was playing at the Cellars, RIP, a few weeks later. So I decided I'd go along just to check her out. I think there were like six people there. And I was like blown away. I was like, oh my God, she was so tiny and she looked so young at the time. I remember me and my partner saying, she looks as young as our daughter, you know.
Yeah.
And she pretty much was, you know. And I was like, wow, I can't believe, like, my daughter was sort of sitting at home watching telly and this girl was there playing these really strong pop songs, you know, with acoustic guitar and very confident with her performance as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Although I would never go, oh, yeah, she's going to go far, she clearly had talent.
Yeah, there always looks a lot of potential. She looked like an A&R man's dream, really.
Yeah, and she, you know, she has done very well and she's still doing it all independently as well, effectively. You know, she has no label behind her as far as I'm aware yet. So that's how I first came across Jerry. Kind of followed her ever since. And I've written about her on my blog, obviously, quite a few times.
Yeah, and it must be nice being able to get friends playing your
Yeah, I wouldn't say Jerry's a friend. I mean, I know her through gigs and I chat to her and say hi. I actually, to a certain extent, like to try and keep my distance a little bit from artists because I write.
So it's more, it's that with writing the blog, it's more of a professional.
Yeah, it's not professional, but I just like. There's
got to be kind of a professional relationship, I suppose, because otherwise, to keep your integrity, you can't just say everything that everybody does is always good. You've got to be open to the fact that there could just be some negative feedback. Yeah. And
I don't do negative feedback in terms of the blog. I only write positive stuff. I've got a day job. I write the blog for fun.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend my time writing negative things for fun. Because that's not fun. I want to promote good stuff I like, you know.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, I have become closer friends with a few bands, but it's over a longer period of time. And those bands know that if I don't like something, I'll tell them. And in fact, I have done that. You know, they've sometimes sent me their demos to listen to and been like, what do you think? And I'm like, really sorry, but I don't like it. You know, that doesn't mean that
Don't run with it. Yeah.
But, you know, and I try to be constructive with criticism as well. You know?
No, that's fair. That's awesome.
But yeah, that's how I first came across Jerry and followed her ever since. So we're glad that she's coming back to play for us early in the afternoon doing an acoustic set, like back in the day, she used to.
Yeah, we had I think it was at Southsea Fest. She played Strong Island Store when we're back up in Highland Road, and it was great.
Just her and the guitar.
Yeah, so talented. Really good. That's definitely worth getting there early for. But let's get on with a bit of music. So we're going to look at Baquito now. check it out. Hopefully you enjoy it. That was Baquito there.
Ah, Baquito, a band who are named after a gorilla that escaped from a zoo. And that there's a definite reason why they're called that, because basically Baquito's music and their performance is all about unleashing your inner animal.
Escaping a bit.
Escaping a bit completely. You go and see this band, the lead singer. I've never quite seen anything like him. An Irish Londoner with big, long, curly hair dancing like an African tribeswoman. I'll just leave it like that.
Yeah? Whereabouts? So you've seen them live before?
I've seen them live. I saw them at Great Escape in Brighton last year and kind of put them down as a potential for if we ever did another Dials. And in fact, interestingly, I put out something online saying we were running Dials again and that the ethos was going to be about supporting a mental health charity, and if any bands were interested, get in contact.
Yeah.
And Baquito already followed me on Twitter and they messaged me and said, you know, you've written about us on your blog and you came to see us. This is a charity that's close to our hearts.
Nice.
We'd love to come and play for you. And so, yeah, we saw that. In fact, we've got a couple of artists like that, Baquito and Bella Spinks. Both have Solent Mind and mental health is very, very important to them. Oh, and Temples of Youth as well.
Yeah.
Have talked about it as well.
So you found the artists that are playing, they've all been sort of really supportive of the event.
Absolutely. And... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the artists understand, I think, that it's for a charity and that it's different from your regular music festival, you know. It's
yes,
not
there's
about
been no
money.
Riders or anything like that.
I think we have like two bands that have small riders.
Couple of beers.
Yeah, a couple of beers, and there's no guest list for pretty much every band.
Nice. So all it's great. So they're all supportive of the whole event and its cause. It's great. It's quite refreshing, to be honest. So I noticed you've got Megan Linford playing.
We have, yes.
She's fantastic. She's a really talented girl. Yeah. Similar to Jerry Williams, it's like I remember seeing this girl, little Johnny Russell's acoustic nights, and how they're almost becoming sort of women and artists in their and just sort of how they're kind of the maturity that they're all showing through their music is great. Megan was actually my highlight at Victoria's Festival.
All right.
Okay. Not her solo show. I didn't get to see that.
Okay.
But I was fortunate enough to catch friends of mine, the South Sea Alternative Choir, over on the Real Ale stage. Obviously coming so soon after Aretha Franklin's passing, they did their own special little tribute, and it was great having someone that can actually sing on stage with the South Sea Alternative Choir.
That's harsh.
No, I'm only joking. They're friends of mine. I'm only teasing. They're all much better than I am, and damn now they do a cracking little job. But
yeah, I saw them on the main stage at Victoria this year. They were great. Yeah. We were just chilling out in the sun, and it was.
Oh, they're fantastic.
So what, Megan sang with them then?
She did a duet with them, and that was awesome. The crowd were so receptive. It was actually, we got there a bit late on the Saturday, so it was the second performance we saw, but yeah, it was great. I'll be getting there early to check
she
out.
She's on very early, 2 o'clock in Bar Acapulco. That's so fine. I'm sure she'll appreciate your support.
That's fine. My only challenge will be making sure that I can hang around for Tiger Cub. I still remember that the early starts of Southsea Fest, I genuinely really struggled to catch
the headliners.
It's a marathon,
not a sprint.
Yes.
Don't drink too much too early. That's all I'm saying.
Definitely. Don't worry about the shots. And,
But in terms of Megan, I actually have Strong Island to thank for discovering Megan, because I saw Megan play a solo set at the Strong Island stage probably 2 or 3 years ago at Victoria's when she was a baby almost. And we were like, again, just like Jerry, she's super talented. You know, it just oozes out of her. And yeah, she was lovely. Really pleased to have her on the bill at Dials,
just to kind of emphasise the sort of diversity you've got there. You've got Megan Linford, and then you've got Horseflies on the same lineup.
Yeah, in the same venue.
I can't see that. Can't see the two of them having a collaboration. But hey, it could be interesting.
Actually, Bar Acapulco, which is the smallest venue on the festival, I think it's only like 50 capacity, and that's a sweatbox if you get 50 people in there. It might sound weird having Megan and Horseflies in there, but it is curated in a way that actually we start quite quietly in that venue.
Yeah.
And it gradually gets louder and louder during the day. And we finish with Melt Dunes at the end and in there, which again, it's for them, you know, they could play a much bigger venue. So it'll probably be pretty busy in there, I'm hoping.
Yes, get there early. Get there early. So, but I guess the beauty of it is that all which venues are actually involved?
So it's Wedgwood Rooms and Edge of the Wedge.
Yep.
So Wedgwood Rooms won't be opening till 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Edge of the Wedge is open from about 3. Obviously, in the evening, you know, we've got a great lineup on the Wedgwood Rooms. We've got Tiger Cub. We have Estrons, who are getting massive play on Radio 1 right now. Okay. We have Thyla, up-and-coming indie band from Brighton. And we have Barbudo for a local act opening up in the Wedgwood Rooms. But, of course, the great thing is we have band in the Wedgwood Rooms, and as soon as they finish, band in the Edge of the Wedge startup. So, you know, if you get there from 7 o'clock, you can see 8 bands that evening.
You've just got a late drop anchor there.
You could just anchor
so
there.
So you've also got Acapulco, Acapulco, The Loft and Wine Vault. So you can walk between them all, actually. So clashes aren't too much.
From the Loft to Wine Vaults is 1 minute walk.
Yeah.
Acapulco is in the middle of all of them, and Edge and Wedge are literally next to each other.
Oh, kind of perfect. So and the Loft, 5 minutes. That's upstairs of the Kings.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So just
opposite
the Kings.
Wine Vaults.
Oh, perfect then.
So it's, you know, in terms of transport and getting around.
Yeah, so you shouldn't be able to miss anything. So
you can run between the Wedgwood Rooms and Wine Vaults in 2 minutes, if you want to. That's what I'd be doing, but I'll be running because I'll be panicking because I'll be sorting stuff out rather than actually trying to catch bands.
So if people want to get tickets, how can they get tickets?
Yes, okay, so you can get tickets from www.dialsfestival.com.
Yeah.
You can also get them directly from the Wedgwood Rooms site. They are £16 plus a small booking fee. If you go down to the Wedgwood Rooms box office in person, you can also get physical tickets there where there is no booking fee.
Cool.
They will be more expensive on the day. So yeah. I'm advising everybody, save yourself. I think they're going to be £20 on the day.
And if we were going to go, then it makes complete sense.
Get them early, get them in advance. Why waste more money, you know?
Yeah.
So
unless you really like the charity, in which case
indeed. Well, buy an extra ticket and just don't use it.
Yeah.
it is all for charity. Obviously, the other thing I just would like to mention is, unlike some other large festivals, we are actually paying all the artists that are playing right down to the bottom of the bill, local acts. They're all getting a form of payment. It may only, in some cases, cover their travel costs, but everybody is being paid. There are some artists who have been great and have waived their fee to help support the charity, which is brilliant of them.
But you've got some travelling. So
yeah, we've got bands from London, we've got touring bands, we've got bands from Brighton. But the ethos of our festival is very much we are trying to be fair and actually pay artists for their work. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen at all events these days.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I'll be there for sure. I'm getting down there quite early.
And I'll probably turn up as well.
Yeah, like I said, I'll sort of have to stagger it.
One last thing in terms of turning up early. If you turn up super early, the first few people who collect their wristbands from the box office just might get a little special treat, but I'll have to leave it at that at the moment.
Cool.
But keep an eye on our social media at Dials Festival. Just Google it, don't you?
Yeah.
And there might be some more details about what those special treats are a couple of days before the festival.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah, like Robin said, there, give them a follow over at Dials Festival. They're on Twitter and Instagram. Because no one really likes Facebook anymore these days.
No.
So what we do is I'm going to finish up with some music. I'm going to play a little bit of one of our Strong Island recording art bands, Melt Dunes. Regular readers will know quite a lot about them. And to finish it up, I'm going to go something a little bit heavier, with Horseflies. They're a lovely little bunch, some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. It can get a little bit crazy on stage, but
it will be loud.
Yeah, then it'll be fun. But anyway, thank you for listening. Hope you have a great time at Dials Festival. And if you're wearing your Strong Island gear while you're there, don't forget to tag us in with hashtag Strong Represent. And hopefully we'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, we did say that the horseflies were a little bit loud, but if you're still with us, then I just wanted to throw in a little bit of a podcast extra. Since I've got home, I've been looking into a few of the bands that Robin was talking about, and I wanted to play you a little bit of a podcast extra. So here is Grace Savage and a bit of Frost. If you are heading down this weekend, have a cracking time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Till you own me, own me. Pretend that I don't care.